Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon in New Orleans, dressed sensibly.
Tony Kornheiser, is that a shot at my jacket?
Let's see now. Yes.
You don't like this jacket?
If you were Louis the Lilac, if you were a Batman criminal, I might like it.
Do you know the expense I went to get this jacket?
Hopefully
the official PTI jacket of New Orleans?
You'll share the price with me in the break.
Wow. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Donovan McNabb looks fabulous. The Patriots are almost flawless, and A-Rod denies a report he might head to the Cubs.
Woo!
But we start with the Cowboys trouncing the NFC champion Chicago Bears 34-10. Well, but I know you're going to turn this into a rant about Rex Grossman, but let's give big ups to Tony Romo and a Dallas offense that zipped up and down the field on a Bears defense that rarely gives up 10 points at home. The Cowboys are now 3-0. The Bears are 1-2. Wilbon, was this the changing of the guard in the NFC?
Not yet. I mean, for early season, yeah, for now. I mean, Dallas is ahead of the pack to me in the NFC and the best team in the NFC today. I'm not going to try to project what that means.
You like Romo?
In 13 weeks.
Last year, you accused me of puffing Romo
you did.
Into
you did.
A Pro Bowl.
You,
you,
did.
Like, him. You
did.
Like him, don't you?
Tony,
he's pretty good.
Like him as a guy, and you have to like the way he played.
Yeah.
He had some guts. He wanted to go for it on fourth down, convinced his coach that he should do that, and they let him. He had some swagger. He looked like Fran Tarkin in part of the night. The Bears defense would trap him. He'd get away. But you know what? I don't know what to make of this. The Bears look like a 7-9 team right now. They have to change the quarterback because the whole team, Tony, goes down the drain if the quarterback, this guy, Rex Grossman, stays under center.
For 5 years, until the Seattle team last year made the playoffs,
yeah.
The team that lost the Super Bowl, for five straight years,
missed,
did not make the
missed.
Playoffs. But your Bears announced themselves, even before the season started, as we're going to win, look at us.
You have to feel that way. Oh. But you know what's undermined it?
You know,
the play of the quarterback, Tony.
Who have they beaten?
Look, the defense held, they beat nobody, the Chiefs.
Kansas City.
The defense held the Cowboys to 3 points in the first half. The defense cannot pitch shutouts against teams that
you blame it all on the quarterback.
I blame much of it on the quarterback. And now you got five defensive starters hurt. It is not looking good right now for the Chicago Bears. Let's move to something more pleasant, please. Donovan McNabb responded to a week of criticism by putting 381 yards and four TDs on the Detroit Lions. McNabb said the slights over his play and his views and the burdens of black quarterbacks did not factor into his performance. Tony, you believe him?
I believe this. I believe that he's a professional quarterback. I believe for years now he's been in controversies. I believe that he knows every time he steps out on the field, especially in Philadelphia, that he's bigger than anybody else there. I believe he needed a big game, and I believe he got one. I dismiss that this was a non-factor.
I think it was a non-factor to him, not to his teammates.
I don't believe it.
You know why I do?
I don't believe it.
Because this ain't in one of the top 15 Donovan McNabb controversies. You got about 12 of them involving T.O.
That's right.
That were much bigger because they involved the locker room. Look, I talked to Donovan about this. He said something he would say 1,000 times again, and every black quarterback not 22 years old would say the same thing. I don't think it matters to him at all.
I believe he's got a sense of the moment. I don't think you can go to four NFC Championship games in a Super Bowl and be that good for that long and not have a sense of the moment. And I think he knew, this is my time. You know?
You know what helped?
And he did.
He did.
It was his time.
He did it, and kudos to Donovan. You know what helped?
It was his time.
Playing against a Lions team that might not be as good as they think they are. I mean, they might not. They came out, jumped on them early. The Eagles, with those hideous uniforms, jumped on the Lions early, which helped because you kept the boo birds at bay while you're running up the
we
score.
We still agree that Donovan McNabb may not be back in Philadelphia next
year. Yes, may not.
But we also know that he is larger than most of these things.
Absolutely.
And he had to play well, and he did. Tough to tell the bigger story coming out of the Packers' win over the Chargers. On one hand, you got the Packers beating their third straight playoff team to start the season. On the other, you've got a Chargers team dropping to 1-2 with the reigning MVP, LaDainian Tomlinson, admitting after the game that he is lost. Which is the bigger story to you, Wilbon?
You hear that phone ringing? You better get it. I think it's Marty Schottenheimer. Because if I'm Marty Schottenheimer, I'm laughing so hard I can't do anything else. My stomach is hurting today. They're in trouble. You know why? Because they're a mouthy team, first of all, and
yes.
They seem to let other things filter in that shouldn't be filtering in. I thought that his reaction, the LT's reaction to what happened, was an honest reaction. When he said, I don't know what hit us. I know what hit him. Overconfidence hit him. And now, Tony, I fear that they don't have the people in charge of that team, starting in the head coach's office, to get them turned quickly.
They lost the head coach. They lost two coordinators. Maybe the GM isn't as smart as he thinks he is.
Wasn't Wade Phillips one of those coordinators?
No, they lost two, and Cam Cameron. Okay.
Yeah.
Norv Turner may become the scapegoat for this. Norv Turner may lose his job in the middle of the year.
I'm sorry.
I think he becomes the scapegoat.
No, he's the coach. Get a hold of your team.
I don't want the bell to go before I remind you that for years you've said that Brett Favre, get out, old man.
No,
get out, retire. Yes, sir. On this set.
You know why I wanted to get out? Because now he's going to beat the Bears twice this year. Let me say this. Brett Favre is managing the game. You laughed at that. When Favre said, I need to become a game manager, not a gunslinger, you laughed. He's doing it great.
Here's what I always told you. That the difference between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers was that one was Brett Favre.
We're not talking.
Okay?
Their names should not be in the same conversation.
He's the best quarterback the Packers have had, and that's why he's
ever. Ever. No one, however, is cruising like the New England Patriots. Tom Brady threw four TDs, two of them to Randy Moss, as New England crushed Buffalo 38-7. Circle those wagons now. The Pats have now won games by 24, 24, and 31 points. Bills coach Dick Geron called them, quote, a team with no weaknesses, close quote. You see weaknesses?
No. Let me give you Brady's numbers, which I'm sure you know. He's 70 of 88 passing. 70 of 88. His quarterback rating is 141.8 right now. That's beyond belief.
Woo.
10 touchdowns and one interception. And Randy Moss, who's uncoachable, who's a team cancer, who nobody wants. I don't want Randy Moss. He has 5 touchdown catches. How's he doing?
Wait a minute. You're not going to blame Oakland for getting rid of Randy Moss, are you?
Here's what I'm going to say. That if you put the right person in the right circumstance, that person will flourish.
Yeah.
And they're going to get back Harrison at some point. They're going to get back Seymour. How do you think that Cincinnati's going to play against them next week?
I think Cincinnati will play real well.
Do you think they'll win?
Cincinnati plays like knuckleheads half the time, but the other half, when you present them with a challenge, I can't wait for that game, because that's the kind of game Cincinnati will be a real team for and not, you know, do the stupid Cincinnati stuff.
Right, it's not 80 to nothing.
The New England Patriots are the best team in the league right now.
Right.
They got a lot of ats out there. And I heard yesterday, Jimmy, Howie, and Terry, I love those guys. I love them. They all seem to me to go with the undefeated storyline.
I
don't see that.
I wouldn't do that.
35 years says they're great, but you don't need to be great. You don't have to be undefeated to be great.
Too good to cheat, don't you think? Didn't need to spy on defense.
They don't need to.
Looks to me like they're the best team.
They don't need to. They don't need to do anything but keep playing the way they're playing.
And now for the baseball story that has Wilbon foaming at the mouth.
Foam.
New York Magazine reported this weekend that the agent for Alex Rodriguez, Scott Boras, has identified the ownership group most likely to be awarded the Chicago Cubs and has discussed with that group a mega deal that would make Rodriguez a player for and eventually part owner of the Cubs. Boras denies it. A-Rod calls it nonsense. The Yankees call it silly and say if it were true, the group should be disqualified for tampering. But Wilbon, does it smell true to you?
Well, you know, I want it to smell true. Want it to smell true. Hey, there's probably a nugget of truth in this. There's probably some flirting going on between whoever Boras thinks is going to be the new owner, who I'm sure most baseball insiders, you know, already have a sense of that, and you know, what A-Rod might want to do.
That would be tampering.
The Yankees...
Wait.
This guy's not an owner. Hey, tampering with what? It's like talking to me if I was a prospective owner. Would that be...
If you're talking about A-Rod,
I'm sorry.
Tampering.
What did the Yankees say? They said if he doesn't get signed this season to take a hike, did they not?
They have said that.
Okay, so you know what?
And
A-Rod didn't do it.
And
his representative did it.
Let's look at this realistically. He loves Lou Piniella. Lou Piniella's managing where right now?
Chicago.
Managing with the Cubs.
Yeah.
If he stays in New York, even with this great season, and they don't win the World Series,
people are going to find fault with him anyway.
And by the way,
he's
going to
start spring training the same way he started the 07 spring.
So I think we both agree that it might be beneficial to him to leave New York.
Maybe.
Well,
if he has a great World Series and they win, why would he go anywhere?
Still,
but here's what Boras is smart enough to do. Create more leverage. Ratchet it up so that ownership is now mentioned. Ratchet it up so there's another team out there with 10 years for $30 million.
Create disturbance in your mind.
That's right.
Let's take a break. When we come back, did Kurt Warner earn Matt Leinart's job yesterday? And did D'Angelo Hall, your boy, cost the Falcons a win? Good questions for Jaws, don't you think?
I don't know how you got to be my boy.
He's your boy.
Pardon the interruption. Presented by Guinness Draft Stout. Drink responsibly.
When Wilbon moves next to me, it's not for snuggling. It's because Jaws has joined us to talk even more.
Jaws! Are you kidding me? Look at... Are you going to Las Vegas to perform at the Flamingo or something
this
tonight?
This is the official PTR road jacket of the week.
He is the
official.
Flamingo.
Would you like to buy it?
Not really.
You sure?
No,
I can get one made for you.
Let's move on.
Here we go. Kurt Warner replaced Matt Leinart for a chunk of yesterday's loss to the Ravens and outplayed him. Should Kurt Warner replace Matt Leinart?
Absolutely not. The Arizona Cardinals, Ken Whisenhunt, have committed to Matt Leinart. Clearly, Kurt Warner can come in and play like he did, you know, at a snap. He's that kind of football player. He's a great guy to have in the bullpen when you need him, and I think he's a great guy that Matt Leinart can learn from. But Matt Leinart needs to be on the field if he's going to grow as an NFL quarterback.
Jaws, the Falcons' D'Angelo Hall picked up 67 yards of penalty on Carolina's tying drive yesterday. And then he gets into this big dispute with Bobby Petrino on the sideline, who is now promising substantial discipline. How much time, if you were running that show, would you give D'Angelo
Hall? Yeah, we, in fact, were watching that game yesterday. He was out of control. And you have to be under control on the football field. He hurt his football team. You know, I love a guy that's aggressive, and you're playing defense. You have to get after people. You have to be an intimidator. But you've got to play smart as well. I think there'll be a substantial fine coming to D'Angelo Hall.
Fine, but not suspension.
No, you need him. He's too good a football player. You want him on the field. Coaches aren't dumb.
Let's continue with this theme. Larry Johnson clearly upset with the play calling for the Chiefs yesterday. Are there scenarios where a player has to embarrass the coaches to get his own point across and change things?
No, how about when you get the football, get some yards? It's not about the play calling. You know, when you've got to get yardage. You've got to keep the offense on schedule. Larry Johnson has done nothing this season, nothing. Now, you could say maybe they don't have the wide receivers. Maybe they don't have the offensive line they usually have. Maybe they don't have the quarterback that strikes fear into the hearts of the defense, or everyone zeroes in on Larry Johnson. But the numbers he's putting up are pathetic so far this season. He ought to worry about his performance, not about the play calling.
Jaws, at halftime yesterday in Washington, the Giants are down. It looks like Tom Coughlin is out of the door. They come back and they somehow win this game. What, if anything, do you expect of the New York Football Giants going forward?
This is the beauty of the National Football League. You know, the minute we're throwing dirt, you know, on the coffin as it's going down, you know, the teams rise from the dead and they come back with an unbelievable second half performance. You know, you're ready to, you know, really put the Giants away. Now you're thinking ahead. They're 1-2. Philadelphia next week, 1-2. It's a big game already in the NFC East. It's amazing how resilient football teams and players are, not only Tom Coughlin and the New York Football Giants.
Texans stayed close to the Colts. Is that a moral victory for them, or doesn't that matter?
Are you kidding me? Are you going to ask me that question? This is professional football.
Let me rephrase
this thing as a moral
victory. Is that a moral victory for them, or doesn't it matter?
That's not a moral victory. You lost, period.
Okay.
Jaws, forget the Mr. Moral Victory over here. Let's talk about a team that actually won again, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I got them. I got Patriots, Colts, and then Steelers, Cowboys in there. Are you willing now with one more victory to sort of put them in the elite class?
I'm getting there. I'm not there yet. I want to see them beat a quality opponent. Not that the 49ers, you know, coming in 2-0, but they still are not a quality team yet. But I like the way the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing it. And I believe Bill Cowher, down the bottom of the desk, left the blueprint for a Super Bowl for Mike Tomlin. They're running the ball well. They're managing the game of Ben Roethlisberger. And, of course, they kept Dick LeBeau, the defensive coordinator, who is outstanding.
All right, we got tonight's game, the Titans at the Saints. The Saints have been very disappointing and mystifying on offense so far, going 0-2. Who do you like in this game?
Well, we were here a year ago, and when the Saints came on this field against Atlanta, there was no way they were going to lose the football game. It was a very special moment. Tonight, that performance won't be replicated, but I think the fans will get this team all lathered up for this game. I think the Saints will win this one.
It's a case where they're desperate, and they still seem to have purpose. I like the Saints, but you know, something's happening with Vince Young in Tennessee. I mean, no matter how good you are, he can give you problems, can he, Joss?
Oh, yeah, we'll be talking about that tonight, rest assured.
The aura. If you remember last week, I did not pick, and why?
He laid out purposely.
Why? Because I actually thought the Redskins might win that.
He didn't want to go against Patrick Mahomes.
I'm in total agreement.
You were gutless.
I'm in
you
total agreement.
You didn't stand
now
up for your convictions.
With you. Okay. I mean, I think that the Saints, because they must win this game, I think they will win this game. Thank you for joining us, Joss. We're taking a break. When we come back, hot-headed Milton Bradley blows out his ACL while arguing. Did the umpires try to set him off? And a college coach lays into a columnist. Was he justified?
Did he lay into you? Because that would be justified. Particularly when you don't pick the game because you're scared of Coach Gibbs.
Unbelievable.
Am I stuttering? Did I pick the Saints? We've got a good show so far. A lot of great topics. So don't blow it for us now, emailers, while I see what's first.
You're going to blame the emailers if the show takes a turn south. Nice of you.
The Giants say see you to Barry Bonds, and Bonds says he respects the decision. Are you surprised that the era that created so much noise is ending so quietly?
Not really. I mean, Bonds, I understand that he is beloved to a great degree in San Francisco, but even then, this is not like Cal Ripken in Baltimore or
Why not?
Or Derek Jeter in New York.
Why not?
He played the first half of his career, the first third of his career in Pittsburgh, first of all. So he didn't only play there. But no, this is a business decision. Bonds is 40-plus years old. It wasn't going to last forever. It's been contentious in some ways, even though not with the club the last couple of years. No, I'm not surprised.
The reason it happens is money, money, money. They can't sell tickets anymore in anticipation of breaking a record. Nobody cares about how many you add on to the end. I think that for all the things Bonds did for that franchise, I would think that he created value for himself, but they paid him a King's ransom for a long time.
He created value for himself when he played, when he was Barry Bonds, getting him into the Cove. He's not that anymore.
He hit 28 this year. It's a lot of homers.
Right, it's a lot of home runs. Milton Bradley went nuts again when he got tossed yesterday, even tearing his ACL while being restrained by his manager, Bud Black. Afterward, Bradley likened it to the Joey Crawford-Tim Duncan situation. Do you think the umps had it in for Bradley?
You're telling me the guy tore his ACL while trying to get
tore
at an
his
umpire?
ACL.
Because his manager had to throw him to the ground.
Yeah.
Right? Did the umps have it in for him? Sometimes that happens. In the NBA, they have it in for Rashid because Rashid has earned that over time. But you know what? Act professionally. If you feel the ump is trying to bait you, do not rise to the bait.
Yeah, I mean, umps and baseball players have a crazy relationship even than NBA refs and NBA players. I mean, they go after each other by name. This stuff goes on for years and years. So maybe he did. But Milton Bradley does this. He's done this so often, and to compare himself to Tim Duncan, who never behaves like this. His team's in the playoffs.
This is a playoff team, and he's gone.
He could be done for more than a year with this injury.
The Raiders beat the Browns by pulling the same cheesy timeout that the Broncos pulled on the Raiders last week. Are you still backing this incredibly annoying tactic?
Look, yes, it's savvy. It's a savvy move. He called the timeout. They sort of made it. They didn't really go after it. And then the Raiders, they block the real field goal attempt that counted, which is exactly how the Raiders lost last week. It's a savvy move. You want to change it, change the rule. Don't tell the coaches they can't use it.
Cheesy as well as savvy, but here's what I don't understand.
What?
Are you telling me that nobody ices kickers? Because they do it all the time.
Yeah, but they wait till late. The rules should change. Once you are at the line of scrimmage, you can't call timeout.
The kicker's job is when it is snapped and held to kick it.
I know.
That's what they do.
But you know what? You know what? You said it's cheesy.
It is cheesy, but I didn't say to change the rule.
I think it's change the rule. It is the rule now.
So stop complaining.
So you know what? When a rule is stupid, change the rule. Once you get to the line of scrimmage, no more.
They allow coaches to call time from the sideline.
It was cool.
Let them do it.
As it turned out. After Saturday's win over Texas Tech, Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy went off on one of your fellow columnists for labeling demoted quarterback Bobby Reed as being soft. Okay by you? Let's listen to Gundy in this clip.
If you want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, you go after one that doesn't do the right things. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday. And you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right.
Columnists write opinions. That's the way it works. They're paid to write opinions. I'm for a coach holding up a newspaper and saying this is a bad story for protecting his player. It doesn't invalidate the columnist's right to have an opinion to me. It doesn't.
It doesn't. And, you know, he just sounds like a screaming lunatic. You know, and I don't read the newspaper as if one coach, something one football coach would say would make all the rest of us turn off football forever. So that just sounds stupid. But I will agree with him only in this small way. Amateur athletes, Tony, when it comes to college kids, certain types of criticism, certain types, I find a little bit out of bounds.
But if they're the big game in San, if there's no pro team.
Still an amateur.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Notre Dame falls to 0-4, and the NFL bans cheerleaders from warming up in front of the visiting team. What?
Notre Dame 0-4. How are you going to defend your boys, huh?
Did you pick them to win just like
I did? University of Football
did
in America.
Did we pick them to win?
Yeah, but you look worse.
No. It's hard not to be happy when you're wearing a lilac blazer.
You should be real happy.
Happy 26th birthday, Drew Gooden and his bizarre patch of hair. You might say, who are you, Tony, to talk about someone's bizarre patch of hair?
Exactly.
But come on, what is the deal with this? It looks like the transplant of a tail, doesn't it, Wilbon?
No, I'm not saying that. I like Drew Gooden. I've gotten to know him over the past couple of years. Nice ball
player. I'm talking about his hair.
I like the hair statement.
Really?
It's fashion.
Then why don't you
yes,
do it?
I will
happy
do
happy anniversary, Joe Paterno. On this day last year, you had to go. You know, go. And badly. We love Joe Pa, and we are happy to report he made it okay. But what a deadlocks of a game Penn State threw up this past Saturday in Michigan, right, Wilbon?
How could you not go with the 50th anniversary of the Dodgers leaving Brooklyn? How could you forget that?
Because I'm in this blazer. Happy trails to NFL cheerleaders' freedom to warm up in front of the opposing team. CBS's Charlie Cashley reported that the directive went out from the league office because some teams were instructing their cheerleaders to get their sexy on in front of opponents to distract them from their appointed tasks. Wilbon, I know you joined me in saying boo to the NFL for this.
Boo! And Jaws is screaming at me off camera to boo it for him as well.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's insane.
Trying to find out we messed up reality.
Hooray cheerleading. You know, I'd be remiss not to remind you guys, you both somehow, and Notre Dame over Michigan State, that didn't work out for me. But if I'm going to sling it, I might as well give Wilbon some props as well. You remember this, Wilbon? Over under 6 points for the Colts over the Texans.
Thank you.
Said push. You nailed it in push, I trust.
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
About
but
time.
You picked Notre Dame
about
as did
time.
I. 1 minute left. We go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Over the last 4 days, the feds have shut down 26 steroids labs. Your thoughts?
Another steroid story. I don't know what to make of any of it, Tony. The Indians have clinched the American League Central. You excited for them?
Their GM, Mark Shapiro, has done a great job.
I told you,
Cleveland. Notre Dame is now 0-4. They're your boys. Your reaction?
They may make 0-8, Tony. I can't believe it. Carl Edwards won the NASCAR race, but flunked inspection. What does it mean?
Shouldn't he be DQ'd if he flunked the inspection?
I think so.
Last one, Ultimate Fighting. Keith Jardine, the Dean of Mean, upset Chuck Liddell. Little, you're surprised.
No, Liddell lost. It's a couple of biggies in a row now. What's wrong with you?
If you like this edition of PTI, you may also like Around the Horn. All ESPN podcasts are free to download in the iTunes Music Store and on PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.